When helping becomes the hazard. Five deaths in Ohio's Scioto River reveal how action bias, urgency, optimism, and social proof can turn one emergency into a rescue cascade. On Sunday evening, a group of adults and children gathered beside the Scioto River near Powell, Ohio. One adult entered the water to swim and began struggling. What followed was not one drowning emergency, but a rapidly expanding chain of them. According to officials cited by Reuters, two adults entered the river to help the first swimmer and also got into trouble. Two more adults then went in after them. By Monday, rescue crews had recovered the bodies of two women and three men. Five adults were dead, while two children from the group survived. The water was not behaving like a calm summer backdrop. U.S. Geological Survey data cited by the Associated Press showed the river flowing at roughly 350 cubic feet per second that Sunday, more than four times its rate 3 days earlier and more than twice its average. A current can look readable from shore while exerting a force that is difficult to understand until it has already taken control. What we know and what we do not. The investigation was still developing when this article was written. Authorities had described the apparent sequence, but they had not published a second-by-second reconstruction. We do not know what each person saw, said, understood, or believed before entering the river. We should not turn incomplete reporting into a confident diagnosis of five individual minds. But we can examine the decision pattern because it is larger than this one family and this one river. Untrained rescuers becoming victims is a known water safety danger. The American Red Cross teaches a memorable rule for exactly this reason. Reach or throw, don't go. The rule exists because the impulse to help can be morally admirable and physically disastrous at the same time. The trap was not caring too much. It is easy to look at the final number and ask how five people could die trying to save one. That question can quickly become contempt disguised as analysis. The more useful question is harder. Why can the most dangerous response feel like the most compassionate one? The central trap is not love, courage, or loyalty. It is confusing immediate movement with effective help. In an emergency, standing on shore to call 911, find a rope, extend a branch, or throw something buoyant can feel passive. Entering the water feels decisive. One action looks like concern, the other can look like hesitation. The body begins moving before the mind has compared the outcomes. Action bias, when motion feels like help. Action bias is the preference for doing something over doing nothing, even when the available action is ineffective or increases the danger. It is especially powerful when delay feels shameful. A person in front of us is disappearing beneath the water. Every second matters. The pressure is not merely practical, it is moral. What kind of person stays on land? That framing hides the real choice. The options are not jump in or abandon them. The options include shouting for help, assigning someone to call 911, reaching with a long object, throwing flotation, maintaining visual contact, directing others away from the water, and waiting for trained rescuers. These actions may look less heroic because they do not resemble the rescue scene we expect. They are still actions, and often better ones. Action bias is relieving because movement discharges helplessness. It gives fear somewhere to go. But an action can reduce the rescuer's emotional discomfort while reducing the victim's chance of survival. The critical question is not whether I am acting. It is whether my action is improving the system or adding another emergency to it. Urgency narrows the menu. Under extreme time pressure, attention narrows. The mind locks onto the most visible object, the person in the water, and the most direct path toward it. Equipment, current, footing, distance, communication, and one's own swimming limitations can fade into the background. This is sometimes called attentional narrowing or tunnel vision. It is not stupidity. It is a normal emergency response that becomes dangerous when the obvious action is the wrong one. The narrowing also produces a false binary. Act now or lose them. Yet effective emergency response often depends on inserting a tiny pause before commitment. That pause is not indifference. It is where a person notices the rope, calls for professional help, tells someone else to bring flotation, or remembers that a panicking swimmer can pull an untrained rescuer underwater. Optimism bias. I can handle what they could not. Optimism bias allows a person to acknowledge a danger in general, while discounting the chance that it will overwhelm them personally. I am a stronger swimmer. I will stay calm. I will only be in the water for a moment. I can reach them and come right back. Each thought may be sincere. None changes the current. The first failed rescue should objectively increase the perceived danger. Emotionally, it can do the opposite. It increases the need to act. Now there are more people to save, including people the next rescuer may love. The stakes rise faster than the plan improves. Confidence is asked to compensate for the absence of training, flotation, and control. Social proof. The first rescue changes the next decision. Social proof is the tendency to use other people's behavior as evidence. Courage is not the same as exposure. Five people did not die because compassion is foolish. They died in a situation where compassion appears to have been expressed through the most dangerous available method. That distinction matters. The goal is not to become less willing to help. It is to become harder to recruit into an expanding emergency. Before acting, ask one question. Am I choosing the action that feels most immediate or the action most likely to help without creating another victim? In an emergency, the bravest move may be the one that keeps you capable of helping.